62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store. America's Art Sport Experts. Hope everybody's doing great. Hope you guys are ready to roll in this Talking Tuesday. You guys already know what that means. Talking Tuesday means, well, we do what we always do. We're going to be talking, but we'll be talking with some folks. Slade Bolden at 1130. We'll get him here on the show. He typically joins via the stream, so if you guys want to watch Slade and I chop it up, talk a little Alabama football, a couple other things that are going on in the football world, well, you can always listen to us via Tide 100.9 with us radio or 1230 WTBC, also radio, or the Tide 100.9 app on your smartphone, tablet, iPad, whatever device that you use. Or if you'd rather watch us do the show, you can always join us on the YouTube or Facebook streams at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, at Tide 100.9 on Facebook, where we typically hang out and do the show for you guys, weekdays 11 to 1. That said, we also will be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at the top of the hour, like we do every Tuesday as well. We'll get Clint's thoughts on this upcoming Oklahoma game. We'll talk a lot more about it. I know we kept saying that over the past couple of days. We've had plenty of time, right? I mean, we're going on, what, 2 weeks of knowing this game is going to happen. So now we'll start diving into it like we typically do. One day early again, the game is this Friday, 7 o'clock Central Time. So we're approaching it. We'll talk about it, probably pull up some tape. Probably go back a little bit to the most recent matchup between these teams, which is really was about a month ago, right, Chase? It wasn't that long ago. Kind of look at what went well, what didn't go so well, and what we need to do moving forward to have success in this game. Because, again, it's that time of the year, guys. It's one and done, right? Or one or done, or however you want to word it. You lose, you go home. Yeah, win or go home. I guess that's the best way to put it. So we'll chop it up with Slade at 11:30, Clint Lamb at 12. Plus, we'll take your calls, 205-342-9904. Love to get y'all's thoughts on everything going on, not just with this game. We'll talk a lot about that, but definitely some other news traveling around the college football world. We mentioned it late in the show yesterday, and I remember I stayed after on the stream a little bit, and I know we talked about it briefly, so I don't even know if we really talked about it on air, but definitely some big news regarding a former Alabama coach who a lot of people like to bring his name up typically every year, you know, wondering if he'll ever circle back. Well, that possibility probably just became probably a little more real than it's ever been. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we'll talk about that here in a minute and who that is, right, that we're referring to with that as well. We got some transfer portal news that we'll dive into, some updates there. I'm sure you guys will be excited to hear that Alabama is already making some moves via the portal. So we'll discuss that, who that is, and what their role might be, and a number of other things throughout this Talking Tuesday. But first, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys go check them out right now. Good Feet, the Good Feet Store, located right here in Midtown Village in Tuscaloosa off McFarland Boulevard. You can't miss it. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. I'm telling you, these things are game changers, as simple as putting these art supports in your shoes, boots, whatever it is that you wear on your feet, and they will get to work, clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. So make sure you guys check them out. I promise you, these things are game changers if you deal with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, waking up stiff, being on your feet, has you just not feeling right, you're out of whack. I'm telling you, you got to try these art supports. They're not your typical ones that you might see at CVS or Walgreens. These things are clinically proven and like the real deal. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm getting fired up for this matchup. I know we have some press conferences that we need to get to. A lot of good things being said. You know, everybody's going to try to win the press conferences, right? And there's a lot of media to get to, so we'll also play that as much as we can. You had head coach Kalen DeBoer speak to the media yesterday. He doubled down on his plans, right, on if he will be here in Tuscaloosa coaching this Alabama football team as early as next season or not. That was one of the first, if not the first question that he was asked during his media availability. He did a press conference yesterday for this matchup, so we need to go back and listen to that. But he made it clear he hasn't talked to anybody, he doesn't plan on talking to anybody, so he doubled down on it. Just for anybody that still had some, I don't know, some concerns, some worries, some doubts, maybe the statement he put out wasn't enough. They wanted to hear it from his mouth exactly, so he went ahead and assured fans he plans on being here. He wants to be here. His family's happy. He had to throw that in there because people speculate that might not be the case. So we'll listen to that here in a minute. Brent Venables also spoke to the media. I know Ty Simpson, Deontay Lawson, others have as well. So we'll listen to them. And I know Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack are scheduled to speak to the media. But again, with the new updated schedule that they're on right now, that happens around 1 o'clock. So we will have to always be a day late. So we'll listen to those the next day. So just a heads up in terms of those things. But hey, Chase, I'll say this, that the press conference, man, typically he's only about like 10 minutes or so we can play the whole thing. I think it might have been like 20 something plus. So if you have the time, Chase, maybe I might see if you don't mind cutting up just maybe some main points while we have some of our guests on. That way, hour number two, we can just play some of the main pieces. I don't know exactly what just yet, but if you can, that would be cool. If not, no worries. We'll skip through it the best that we can, and we'll roll from there. But again, we got guests 11:30 and 12. So if you guys do want to get on the phone lines, let me just be clear, it might be a little minute. Unless you jump on right now, we got a window real quick if you guys want to hurry up and hop on before we get Slade on here. If not, probably would suggest you wait till hour number two once we finish talking to Clint. That way you guys aren't just sitting on the phone lines way too long. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up with that. That being said, let's hit our first time out. Let's do it. Let's jump into it. Let's hit our first time out. When we come back, we'll dive into it. Talk a little about this coaching news that's going around right now. And then we'll dive into some Oklahoma-Alabama talk, get you guys ready for this playoff matchup taking place in Norman, Oklahoma this Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time kick. We'll do that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
For talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are at their famous catch-all batter. Bring that Catfish Heaven flavor home. Pick up a bag in local stores. Catfish Heaven, where every bite gets its halo.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
call 800-417-6411 and give us your answer.
The proceeding is not a contest and is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways and not sponsored by this program or its affiliates.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, we got a number of things that we can talk about. Definitely going to talk about Alabama, Oklahoma, but we're going to wait to do that until we talk with our guests. Slay will be on here in probably about 10 minutes or so. Then we got Clint Lamb at the top of the hour. So we'll talk about that plenty. But before we get there, I want to dive into a couple of those things I mentioned. Number one, the transfer portal, right? Because I'm feeling like that's probably what y'all want to talk about first. That is pretty fresh and pretty recent. Alabama, in fact, picks up a tight end from the transfer portal. Josh Ford has they worded as has signed. The transfer portal is technically not open yet. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that their coach was fired, I guess, or I don't know. But the way it was worded is he's signed to Alabama, right? So we'll just go with that for now. I don't know if he's committed, signed, whatever the case is. Excuse me, but definitely an interesting pickup. You talk about this offense that we have, you know, it definitely relies on tight ends. We see Quavis and his success, right? How he's been a great contributor to this offense. The freshman, Caleb Edwards, you're seeing the action that he's getting in. Well, now you just signed another guy with some experience. Now, remember, we did sign a couple other guys from the portal earlier this year. Haven't seen too much of those players. I think one of them was from Troy. Where was the other one from? Maybe like West Virginia or something. Maybe I'm making that up. For some reason, I feel like that's the case. That said, we know this offense, you know, typically likes to utilize their tight ends. So no shocker here that we end up going to get another one. Look, the guys you brought in that I just mentioned, I feel like those are more like depth pieces, kind of just bodies to have. And you got to remember with the changes, with the scholarship numbers and things like that, you always are trying to work on depth, right? I haven't been able to dive into this guy just yet. I'm not too sure if he falls more in the Quavis category where they're actually, you know, expecting him to contribute a little bit more. He's maybe just another body. I would imagine probably expecting him to have a little bit more of a role. But again, I'm just speculating here. We got his highlights pulled up. I have not watched them yet. They're sitting here on YouTube, and I don't want to watch them while we're, you know, talking during the radio. I'll wait till we get to a break real quick. But I can tell you that limited action, or I guess limited production this season, based off his stats, at least. I think he had maybe 3 receptions for a total of 45 yards and 1 touchdown this season. But I can tell you, though, in terms of measurables, he's exactly what you're probably looking for in a tight end. And I would probably list his measurables as pretty elite, right? 6'6", 265. To me, that sounds, again, I have not watched him, but more in the core, you know, Y type tight end. Because remember, you have 2 different types of tight ends, right? You got H-backs, right? U's, those are kind of more like the Robbie Oates, kind of off the ball. You see them a little bit more in the backfield. And your tight end Y, that's going to be your dominant blocker. You know, he's going to be in the C area. They can be, you know, good pass catchers, but typically, I mean, they're known for their physicality in the run game, that, you know, their ability to block. But hopefully he can do a little bit of both, because this offense does allow guys to, you know, have passing opportunities and make plays in the passing game. So I'll watch his tape here in a second, and I'll give you more thoughts on that. But I want to at least throw it out there just so you guys knew, because, again, this was posted 10-16, right? So literally just an hour ago, so very fresh. So that's one of Alabama's early portal additions. Now we'll have to see where they go after this. I'm very curious how we address the portal. We've heard from Courtney Morgan. He talks about their philosophy, right? They're going to lean heavy into roster retention, into the, you know, the recruiting process, developing their players, which I like. I appreciate that about us. I mean, that's how it's always been. I know we're moving towards a world where portal is important. You see teams, they get all this money. They go out and get Florida State, for example. It's like a roster reconstruction, and it's a completely different roster. None of those guys have played together before. You know, you got to respect it when your teams are trying to do it the way we're doing it here at Alabama. That said, you still will need some portal additions, right? It's inevitable. So it's important that you're able to address those needs. And, you know, Coach Saban always described it, you know, portal and you know, transfer and all that stuff, it should be to address positions that you need a plug-and-play guy right now. So I'd imagine they view, you know, their tight end roster. Quavis is gone, but you got Caleb Edwards. I know they've got Pritch and some other guys, but if you go sign a guy like this, I'd imagine I don't know how you put this, Chase, without saying like, oh, they don't trust the guys that they have, but they clearly probably have a sense that, hey, we want to have a reliable guy that has experience for this upcoming season, knowing that we're about to lose one of our better tight ends in Josh Quavis, right? You know, he's been a huge contributor for this team. So it makes sense. We'll watch tape and learn a little bit more about him in a minute. But that leads me to one of my first questions that I have for you guys on this Talking Tuesday before we dive into some more Oklahoma talk. In terms of portal additions and who we are addressing in the portal, I see QD's talking about this in the chat. What do you guys feel that Alabama needs to address via the transfer portal? I can tell you off the top of my head, I'm going to think about it a little bit more, but off the top of my head, Chase, there's one position that I think definitely needs to be addressed via the transfer portal, and it's on the defensive side of things. It's a linebacker position. You're losing all three linebackers. Deontay Lawson's gone. Justin Jefferson, he had an extra year to come back, so he's definitely gone. Then Nakai Hill Green, we had him on the show last week. Shout out to Nakai Hill Green. He told us on the show, I mean, this was what? I thought it was his third stop. I think he said fourth. So, unfortunately, he's out of eligibility. And I hate that because I feel like he's really just getting going here. I mean, I would have loved to have him another year because I love the way he plays the linebacker position. That said, all three contributing linebackers are gone this season. I know you guys are like, well, we got QB Reese and we got some of these younger players. And that's great. But the linebacker position, man, like, yes, I think we'll rely on at least one, maybe even two of those guys for sure. But you always want to have a little bit of a veteran presence. And that room is going to be so young next year. So young. None of those guys would have true. I mean, QB Reese would probably be the only one. And that's with the limited experience that he got this year. I think without a doubt, Chase, you got to at least get one veteran inside backer. I mean, that to me, I think that's, I would bet money on it, guys, that we will, without a doubt, sign a transfer portal linebacker. Chase, should we make a little friendly wager on that? I'm like so certain. If we don't, I would be beyond shocked. I would be beyond shocked. So we'll have to see on that. But so hopefully we do that because I think that would be huge for our defense. Really important. In terms of other positions, let me just think real quick because I want to get y'all's thoughts on this, but I'm trying to think real quick. Chase, you can think about it too. I'm trying to think of who's leaving. On the back end, I feel like you've got a number of guys. I feel like we just transfer portal guy. Matter of fact, we didn't mention this. Tuscaloosa native, I'm forgetting his name, but he's like 6'2", 190. I saw that we just signed him. But if you look at it, Bray potentially coming back, I know he's got the eligibility. I think he's just going to have to make that decision. Keon Sab, is he out of eligibility? Chase, chat, you guys know I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say he may have an extra year, maybe not. I don't know. But outside of that, you know, I want to say Damani still has another year of eligibility. What I'm getting at is I think all the secondary guys technically could come back, if I'm not mistaken. And then you got to think about the young guys that you have behind them, right? We had a guy talk to us about some of those young players. You know, Ivan Taylor, he mentioned him. A lot of people excited about him. You already know Dijon Lee's right there, and he's playing heavily right now. I would list him as like a co-starter. Xavier Brown, and then if Damani comes back or whatever goes, I mean, you're good at corner right now. Red Morgan, who's really come along, he's a young guy. He's coming back. So really, I think you only – okay, Sab is gone. He's a senior. Thank you, Sam. So I think he's really the definite one. And then I get – is Damani a senior too? Okay, thank you, Wigan. All right. For some reason, I thought they might have had one more year. If not – listen, I hate to say it like this, but at corner – I mean, with Damani leaving, you've seen kind of Dijon Lee kind of take over that other spot. I mean, I think we can agree that I think it'll be okay right there. Then Sab being a senior, you're losing him. But then you look behind him, and hopefully Bray makes a decision. And I think Bray could come back for sure. We'll have to see. I'm sure he'll get, you know, depending on how the grades come in, it'll be interesting to see how he's graded. But I don't know. Chase, is there anything? I know I'm focused heavy on the defense. While I think about offense, or any positions that you definitely feel like need to be addressed? D-line, I'm not going to lie to you. With LT leaving, I know you have a number of guys behind him, but Tim Keenan's gone. I know you'll have Beeman coming back. I've really been impressed with the young guy out of Mississippi. I'm London Simmons, man. He's been really impressive. James Smith will be back. Quay and Yonze both back. So I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to address, I definitely would probably consider a defensive tackle 100%. Probably an interior defensive tackle for sure, especially to help with depth. I feel like when Tim was hurt and Beeman went down, I mean, having to rely on such youth, I think, yeah, one of those interior tackles like a nose would definitely be big, probably portal-wise. I think edge, you're looking like you're in good hands with Yonze, Justin Hill coming along. We've seen 24 get some action. I think that group's coming along. I feel better about them now than I did going into the season. Quay expected to come back. So, yeah, I think defensively, man, I think linebacker, we've seen, I guess, one DB, you know, come in, but I think it's more of a depth thing. But then, like I said, linebacker and I think, like, interior tackle to me would be big on defense. So, offensively, without a doubt, offensive lineman, you can't have enough. Especially in this day and age, we talked about it with the parity and whatnot. This, you know, it's like the NFL, man. Like, offensive line is one of the toughest positions to find good quality players. It is. I mean, not just because, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, just think about it, Chase. I mean, it's always hard to find, like, bigger guys, number one, just because, right, you know, big. Think about it, right? There's a lot more people that are just of normal size. So if you're talking about, like, skill guys, like, you're going to find buku guys that, you know, can run fast and do all that. But, like, big linemen, it's already a challenge. And then to find big guys that are athletic enough to also be able to do the things that they need to do, finding linemen is tough. So I would say Kaden Proctor's gone. Brailsford has another year of eligibility, I believe. It gets so confusing, guys, because of the new redshirt rules. I don't know who played in only four games or not, but let's just anticipate. Chase, let's hit this timeout. When we come back, we can definitely look at offense, because I'm over here like, man, I don't know who is eligible and who's not, but I definitely would say offensive line, you never can go wrong with that. So you guys think about that. We're waiting for Slade. He'll be on here in a minute, and we'll talk with him. Been able to address via the transfer portal, and we'll start there. Then we definitely got to dive into this this news regarding this coach that's potentially off the leash, man. That's how a word like that. And could we potentially see him making a return? We'll talk about that and more right here on the Miller's Edge after this quick timeout. Tide 100.9, 1230.
Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic
historic downtown Northport has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 303 Hargrove Road East, next door to the Tuscany Podiatrist, also across the street from West Coast Custom. They are now TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Same great customer service, same trusted ownership, just more convenient with a spot with easier parking. 303 Hargrove Road East. The compounding needs, the only sterile compounding facility in Tuscaloosa. Walk-in prescriptions are always welcome. Medicine on time, packaging, and all the compounding needs. It is TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 205-752-0627. If your pharmacist doesn't have an Alabama shirt on, you don't want him. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Waiting to hear back from Slade, so I'll keep you guys posted on that. We definitely still have Clint at 12, so make sure you guys are tuned in for that, and we'll start talking a little more Alabama, Oklahoma at that point. But we're talking a little transfer portal right now. Let's see. All right, Slade had to push it back a little bit, so probably close around 1230 when we get to him, which no worries. No big deal at all. Let's keep talking about this transfer portal while we got it pulled up. Thinking about the offense, receiver-wise, we already said offensive line, definitely think you could address that via the portal. Getting some more, you know, experience in there, veteran presence. I think if you look at it, Chase, right tackle, you feel good about Michael Carroll and what he, you know, what he's going to be, right? I know right now he's still a little young and he's still, again, and he's playing solid for a freshman for sure. As a matter of fact, I think he got honored as a freshman All-American. Shout out to him and all the other guys. We hadn't really covered all those, and we probably need to catch back up on that, all the accolades going around. But Michael Carroll, expected to be a right tackle, right guard. We've seen a number of guys there. Jaden Roberts should be gone. Vandermark, gone. Wilkin Formby's been working there as of recent. He still has eligibility, so I would expect going into next year, right? I mean, right side, even though it had been an issue this season, hopefully it will be a little bit more of a strong point going into next season, given that those guys have some experience. Center will be interesting, though, because, you know, the backup to Brailsford, who I would expect. Brailsford, I wouldn't be shocked if he leaves. I think he does have an extra year if he wants it. I don't know if he stays. That said, his backup, at least that we saw, ended up being Vandermark, right? So he's gone. So they're going to have a battle at center, which is a very important position. So we need to really kind of pay attention to see how that works out. Left guard, we've seen Will Sanders get some action there. And I thought he's played well when he was there. So I would expect him to get some heavy looks and probably, you know, compete with some of these younger guys that are on the roster. Then left tackle, that's the big one. I think Lloyd, seeing him work in person, I think he's going to be a good football player. I mean, for a bigger guy, he moves well. I think he's got a shot to compete for that left tackle spot. But I wouldn't be shocked if they address at least one spot, if not two, at the offensive line position via the transfer portal. And then I guess last but not least, well, not last, we'll skip over quarterbacks. We're not taking a quarterback in the portal. If anything, we're probably worried about losing one potentially given, I guess, depending on how that situation unfolds. So we'll skip that. Running back. Chase, would you say we need a running back be the portal? Jam's gone. The rest of the guys are still there. They hadn't really produced the way you would like. And then you just signed Crowell, who, you know, looks to be a really good football player, at least at the high school level right now, and, you know, expecting him to transition and be there. You still got young guys like A.K. Deere, who I think should be able to contribute much more going into next year versus now. With the struggles that we've seen in our running back room, in our running game, I mean, do you feel like even though we got a lot of bodies there, maybe consider taking a talented experience back? Or you think, you know what, we got a stable of them. Let's just hope and pray somebody steps up to the plate next season.
I would take an established back. We saw with the injury to Jam Miller just how much it depleted the running back room, and asking a lot of A.K. Deere and Daniel Hill to step up to the plate. And, you know, they can, but I feel like their time isn't right now. And just being able to have them develop and learn more behind an experienced back, like maybe I saw in the chat, someone had mentioned Ahmad Hardy, if he's still available, you know, maybe kind of get towards him, or someone of high value that has produced and can be that number one back for Bama, because, you know, Bama is known for backs. They've known for producing it, and I think it would help a lot with this offense for next year, especially with, you said it, with the offensive line, so many players, great players, like Caden Proctor and Parker Bris, for who could potentially go to the NFL draft. So, you know, you need running backs that can produce, because we're not, unless Ty comes back, it's going to be interesting between Austin Mack and Keelon Russell and how the offense looks. But being able to have a stable back that can get you a lot of carries, that can take care of the ball and also be good in the pass blocking game, it's going to be huge for next year's offense.
It is, Chase. You threw out a big name, man. Ahmad Hardy. Hey, listen, hey, I'll say this. If Ahmad Hardy is available, or so, say whatever the case may be, listen, I know you got to stable those guys. I don't know if I would be mad if you just say, hey, to hell with it, man. We might lose one or two, but listen, you're talking about a guy that's rushed for 1,500 yards. And numbers aside, man, I love the way that dude runs the football, man. I mean, he runs angry, he runs physical, but he's got some wiggle to him. It's kind of like, you know, Josh Jacobs-esque, you know what I mean? Like, he's running with a purpose. Ah, man. It just makes me wonder, gosh, we have a number of guys in this roster. You can't tell me that, like, none of those guys is really, I mean, like, there's times where some of them kind of have moments, but I don't know. It's kind of baffling to me that we don't have anybody really that just, like, plays a position like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like the backs that we have, it's not like these guys were like, you know, highly recruited guys in high school. If you go watch their stuff, I mean, it was there, but it's just, man, just a little disappointing how it's kind of transpired this season. But I hear what you're saying. I don't see them necessarily doing it, but if there is a back like that, maybe you lean into it. I will say, I mean, it is clear. I mean, this staff, I mean, they like weapons. They like offensive guys. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see a couple of those. Let's flip the script real quick, right? I got another question. Who do you guys think we could see depart? You know what I'm saying? Because we got to consider that aspect. We're talking about all the additions, right? The imports. What about the exports? Who could we see going out? I mean, just think about that, because we got a number of players now that, like last year, you know, we talked about the retention and guys hanging around, and I think it was a little bit different because it was like, all right, going from year one to year two, the guys had a lot of optimism, you know, a lot of expectations that, hey, man, like, you know, I can, you know, prove myself, earn some opportunities. But there are a few that I feel like just didn't really end up getting many. And some of those guys, like Jalen Hill, we hadn't really seen him at all. And I know he's coming off of a gruesome injury, right, that he suffered in practice. But, I mean, I've seen him behind the scenes, and, I mean, I would say, I mean, he looks pretty solid. Now, I know he's still probably, you know, not maybe 100% maybe in terms of just – because sometimes, like, when you have a really bad injury like that, like, you can be back 100%, but take some time to – it takes a little time to really get to feeling it again. But I would argue, like, back in the spring when I was watching him, he looked good to me. But we haven't seen much of him. Cole Adams, you know, some return action, but that's really about it. I mean, but we've seen him. I mean, he was at one point labeled Mr. Reliable by the receiver coach himself, Coach Shepard. Hadn't had many opportunities. Jalen Mpakwe, a guy who did enter the portal, then came back out of it like a day later. Hadn't really seen him get opportunities. So I just wonder if you actually this time around, because I know some people speculated that a number of those guys were going to leave going into the season, but they didn't. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a couple of those guys end up leaving this time around, which, I mean, you know, it's part of the game. And you can't really be too mad at it, because if you look at, we just talked about it. I mean, Ryan Williams will be back. Lotsier Brooks, you know, he's going to have a big role. Meadows, you know, he passed those guys up. Because think about it. It's not like, oh, you only saw Horton, Bernard, and Ryan. No, I mean, you saw other guys, but you see Brooks and you see Meadows. They passed some of those guys up. So I can see some of those guys going maybe back or so. Richard Young, I see in the chat. I don't know. I feel like Kevin Riley could stay. I mean, Kevin Riley's a homegrown guy and good player too, man. But I could see maybe Richard Young probably could see that. Let's look at on the defensive side of the football. Anybody come to your mind, Chase? I'm trying to think on defense. You think about defense, I feel like we rotate so much and play so many guys over there. It's, you know, probably a little bit less likely to have certain players. But I don't know. Let's see if you guys got any other ones. Everybody's really just leaning towards Richard Young on that one. Man, so I don't know. Let's do this. We'll stay on schedule. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. We have a few minutes where we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. At the top of the hour, we'll talk Alabama, Oklahoma. We'll dive into that. Then I think we're pushing Slade to around 12:30. So second hour, we'll get him on here. But might have a moment in between those two guys to squeeze some calls in on this Talking Tuesday. But I'll keep you guys posted. Right here on the Miller's Edge, top 100.9, 12:30 WTBC. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Save now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Select styles. Offer ends December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store Kohl's.com for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
Ulta Beauty today, or buy online and pick up in-store now. Ulta Beauty. Gifting happens here.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Decorated trees. It's the perfect way to make a merry memory in downtown Tuscaloosa at Government Plaza. For full details, visit ttowntinsel.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon, the high today 53. Tonight fair with the low at 35. Tomorrow partially sunny with a high at 57. Thursday cloudy with a good chance of developing rain showers. Thursday's high at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 49 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into the Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 12:30. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, man. We're talking about a little roster. I guess we're playing the role of GM, man. Think about who's out, who's in, all that good stuff. And speaking about some of these guys and some accolades, real quick, I just pulled this email up because I was checking to see if we had any app message. We got some accolades rolling in for a couple of our players. Bray Hubbard has been named AFCA All-American. as a safety, and Caden Proctor, also named an AFCA All-American at left tackle. I want to see. This is Proctor's third All-American distinction, so shout out to him for that. I was trying to see if it was like first team, second team. Anyway, so shout out to those guys. So Proctor and Bray both being named All-Americans via the AFCA. Real quick, I mean, we got a couple minutes, and Jake brought this point up, so I am just curious about y'all's thoughts on this. We talked a little bit about it the other day, but in terms of the portal, if Ty comes back, who are y'all banking on it? How do y'all see that playing out if he comes back? Again, I know we hit on it a little bit, 2 days ago, something like that? Yeah, no, we weren't on here. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. I just personally play, if Ty comes back, it's Ty's job. He has a short leash, but then you got Keelan right there, you know, chomping at the bit. And probably see Mac transfer. Chase, what about you? How do you see that playing out? Well, let me ask you this. Do you even think Ty comes back? Let me start there.
Dang, that's a tough question. Yeah. I think Ty comes back. I think he's not satisfied with how the season went this year. I think a lot of people had high hopes for him being in that upper echelon of going the Heisman, being those candidates and stuff like that. But I do think it shakes up the quarterback room for next year because a lot of people are riding on, like you said, Mac transferring. And then it really puts a lot of microscopes on Keelan right behind Ty. But I think it is, like you said, it's Ty's job to lose. And I don't think it's a bad thing if Ty comes back. I think it motivates Keelan even more to prove to the coaching staff, hey, like, I'm ready. Put me in. You know, you'll see that on A-Day and throughout training camp and get him ready for the first game of the season. But I don't know. Do you think if Ty comes back, Christian, do you think it boosts the offense, or do you think you'll see the same thing you saw this year, or maybe he reached his potential?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'll say like this, and it might be an unpopular opinion, but I some people probably, they look at how he's played the last few games and they immediately say, no, we want to jump straight to Keelan Russell. And I understand it, but I would argue that you never turn down a guy like Ty coming back, and here's why. It has nothing to do with loyalty or no. This is from a football perspective. If you look at it, man, the teams that make these runs, man, they typically have veteran presence at the quarterback position. Like, that's an important factor. And I would just argue, I mean, like, as quick as we are to forget, we got to remember, I mean, Ty had a stretch through the middle part of the season where he was playing the quarterback spot better than almost anybody at the position, to the point where people were saying he could potentially be the number one overall pick, not just a first rounder, but number one overall pick. And I get it. I know pundits and people sometimes jump to conclusions. Hell, myself, I mean, I've done it before too. But I would argue that when you look at Ty's play, I mean, he can get back to playing at that level. And I think if he were to come back for another season, I think you would bank on him playing like that. I mean, you look at the competitor that he is, you look at the mindset that he has. I mean, I would argue he would be a much better version, or at least a much more consistent version of himself. Now, we had this conversation. It was a good point. He could come back and it could look a little bit more like Garrett Nussmeier, right, who had a regression after coming back. I'm not saying it's guaranteed that if he comes back, he's automatically just going to take that next step. But I'm saying I personally would be confident knowing him on a personal level and knowing him as a football player, that he would grow more if he did come back. And I think scouts are probably going to start recommending him consider that for sure. I think if he decides to leave, he still, without a doubt, will be considered as probably one of the top five quarterbacks in this draft. Part of it being because of what he did in the middle stretch of the year, showing that potential. I think the other part being it's a weaker quarterback class. That said, I agree with what you said, Chase, in the fact that I could totally see a world where he's not satisfied with not only, you know, how his season, you know, transpired this season, but also maybe with how the team ended up finishing the year. And knowing him, the pride that he has, all that good stuff, I personally could see him coming back to school here. And I don't think you would, ever say, no, we don't want to come. No, I get Keelan Russell's there, but I strongly feel like Keelan Russell, he's a mature kid. I personally think, I don't think he would be, I mean, I'm not saying it'd be easy for him, but again, with him redshirting this year, next year would only be his redshirt year. And I think they would, again, like I said, have a short lease also, just remember that, and still try to get him as many opportunities, knowing he's going to be like that true backup that we might need at some point. So it's not like he'll just be sitting on the pine the whole time for a whole nother year. I think he'll have some opportunities in the meantime. And then by year three, I mean, he would be fully ready to go. And it's going to be the Keelan Russell show where I think he would just blow up and have that type of year. Because I think it could serve him well, too, if he's able to kind of trust the process. But again, this is all hypotheticals and we're just talking about it. That said, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll do that with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. We'll talk Alabama, Oklahoma, talk about this roster, number of things going on Alabama football-wise. And then we'll try to get Slade on here probably around 12:30 if that time slot works out better for him as well. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 12:30 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are now 8-6 this NFL season after beating Miami Monday night 28-15. Aaron Rodgers with two touchdown passes. The Steelers were down 3-0 late in the first half and then scored touchdowns on their next four drives. Pittsburgh's franchise has won 23 straight at home on Monday Night Football dating back to 1991. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes had his surgery Monday night on his torn ACL. Defensive end of the Packers Micah Parsons does indeed have a torn ACL. He was hurt Sunday. MRI confirmed that Monday. The Jets fired defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. In the NBA, Denver at home won in overtime against Houston, 128-125. Nikola Jokic, 39 points in a triple-double. Utah in overtime beat Dallas despite 42 points from Cooper Flagg. Victories for Detroit, Toronto, and Memphis. NHL wins for Dallas and for Anaheim.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts. We're now joined by our buddy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, like we do every Tuesday at the top of the hour right here on the Miller's Edge. Clint, welcome in, man. Hope you had a not really a week off. I know you're working around the clock, but we didn't have a game last week. But hope everything's been well with you, man.
Yeah, how you doing today, Christian?
Man, I can't complain, man. We've been talking a lot about really this roster. We hadn't even got to dive into the Oklahoma talk. We definitely plan on doing that with you. But we were talking about Josh Ford, the pickup from Oklahoma State, one of the earlier transfer portal pickups. I guess I'll start there real quick because I know you cover a lot of this stuff. Have you had a chance to really check him out? I haven't really been able to really look into him much. I see these 6'6", 265. You got Quavis on the way out. I know we brought in some tight ends earlier in the year, probably some more depth pieces. But I didn't know how much you knew about this guy. And if you did you see him being more of like another depth option or more of a guy where they view him as probably come in and compete to contribute in this offense pretty soon?
Yeah, I definitely think he's a big body guy. He's physical. I liked what I've seen on tape. Now, granted, I haven't watched a lot of his 2024. He played a lot more. He started the first four games in 2025, elected to stop playing, preserve the red shirt, and enter the transfer portal. So he'll have 3 years of eligibility. But he got a start in the first four games. He averaged 45 snaps a game. I think had the second highest snap share amongst Oklahoma State offensive players behind only the quarterback. So, and he started, I think he played in all 12 games his freshman season, his true freshman season. He started about half of them. He's kind of been that tight end one for Oklahoma State since he stepped on campus. And like I said, big physical wide inline blocking option, exactly what you look for at that position. Very, I mean, not the same skill set based off of what I've seen necessarily, but kind of what DJ Dupree and, you know, I would say more so Dupree than Robbie Utes. What he provides at Alabama's offense as far as being a sneaky pass-catching option, but really providing a lot of physicality and stuff out there on the perimeter of the edges, that's something that I think Ford can end up helping this team with. And I don't know what's going to happen with Danny Lewis. He's been in and out of the lineup all season. I would fully expect him to be back next year and to be that starting inline option. So to say that Josh Ford is going to be a starter necessarily, I don't think that's a guarantee. But if something ends up happening with Danny Lewis, Caleb Edwards is a big body guy as well. I mean, when you start talking 6'6", 264 pounds, 6'6", 265, you can do some things with those types of players. But they also got more of the complementary pass catchers like a Marshall Pritchett, Max Sutter, you know, the four-star borderline top 100 recruit. He's going to be coming in, brings that pass-catching element, but also has some inline ability for the future. But if he's going to contribute as a freshman, we'll probably be more so as a pass catcher. So I really like this move. I think he's really important to what Alabama's going to want to do as far as being more physical at the point of attack, being able to run the football a little bit better. We've talked about the offensive line extensively, but I've always made sure to bring up the fact that I don't think they're getting the run blocking from the tight end that they got with C.J. Dupree and Robbie Utes last year, and I think that's made a little bit of a difference. Now, it's understandable. Quavis is more of that move option, not as big, not as physical, but really reliable as far as the pass catching side of it. And then you got a true freshman in Caleb Edwards who's still learning the ropes as far as playing in the SEC. But either way, they just haven't gotten out of that position what they've needed to from a blocking standpoint. I would fully anticipate this type of move to really help that on top of Caleb Edwards, getting more experience and getting more physical or stronger in the offseason. Then also maybe Danny Lewis also being a part of that and being healthy next year would certainly be numerous steps in the right direction.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And I had a chance to kind of see about a minute of his highlights. And that makes sense, what you said about him sitting out. I looked at it and I was like, he had limited, production in 2025. But I didn't realize he sat out. So that makes sense. But, yeah, no, I think he definitely will come in and compete to contribute definitely early. And we know how much these tight ends are utilized in this offense. Clint, while we're talking about roster and players, I can't help but wonder, are there any other positions that you feel Alabama will address via the transfer portal? I said linebacker, I think, is probably the glaring one. I mean, you're losing all three guys. I know you got some young players like QB Reese you're excited about. But we know, I mean, especially Mike and just how important the linebacker position is, preferably you want some experience there, maybe even like an interior guy on the defensive line. Are there any other positions, even offensively, that you feel like Alabama is definitely looking to address via the portal, maybe offensive line? Anything stick out to you?
Yeah, I love what you said about the linebackers. This feels very, I don't even remember, was it 2022 maybe? Maybe 2023, whenever they added Tresman Marshall. You know, a lot of people, they looked at Jahad Campbell and they looked at you know, some of these guys that Alabama had recruited at off-ball linebacker, and they thought those will be the next guys up. But Nick Saban really wanted the experienced guy there, someone that you know could end up, you know, being that field general if you needed him to be that physical experience, have the physical experience that you needed to hold up in the SEC. That's something that I think they will probably do is mix the young talent that they have that I know that they really like, on top of maybe adding a guy out of the transfer portal, you know, in the Kai Hill Green type of player, if you can get that type of player, to really shore up the experience side of things where you got a balance of talent and experience going into 2026. But the offensive line is definitely where I would start offensively. There's no doubt about it. I think that based off of, you know, you're probably losing Caden Proctor. I think right now, you know, we all have high hopes for Jackson Lloyd. He's a true freshman. He's still getting bigger and stronger. Love the athleticism. Love his fit in the offense moving forward. But I don't know that you can necessarily bank on that. If you brought in a Tyler Steen type of, offensive lineman who has that experience and let him compete with Jackson Lloyd, if Lloyd ends up being good enough and that left tackle that you bring in or tackle in general is kind of shoring up things on the right side, you could always move Jackson Lloyd over to right tackle and then kick Michael Carroll inside the guard, which I think he would be excellent at as well. So I think that that's probably your best bet, because you've got to have more options at tackle. Right now, it's really Jackson Lloyd. It's Michael Carroll. Maybe you could, you know, if you had to, you could go to a Wilkin for me. But outside of that, it's like, you know, a lot of guys who are probably better guard options, like an Olasalinen, Arkell Enugwum. I think he's still just way too raw. I would need to see a lot of development from him before I would be comfortable putting him out there against SEC edges. So, the offensive line, particularly an offensive tackle, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Alabama targeted at least one really experienced, really good player. That would probably be a priority if I had to guess, because I love a lot of the young guys they're bringing in the 2026 recruiting cycle. All of them have a lot of upside as tackles, but they're also not guys like a Michael Carroll who you're going to anticipate coming in and immediately assuming some sort of massive role. So you've got to make sure that you've got adequate play at that position, and really start making some improvements on your offensive line. I think that starts at tackle.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And we always talk about how important the trench play is, and I would argue a lot of our problems could be solved if we address some of those things up front and just get as much help as possible to make the quarterback's job, some of these skill guys' job, a lot easier than it has been, not just this year, but in recent years as well. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, like we are every Tuesday here on the Miller's Edge. Clint, now on the other side of things, right, we talk about the additions. Now we got to talk about potential subtractions. Any names that come up? I mean, I'm not saying we're trying to cast these out there, but just if you had to say, hey, there's a chance you might lose some guys here or there, any positions or guys that you might say maybe be on the lookout for could potentially be entering the portal? I mean, I know we've asked the chat. They think maybe Richard Young or some of these receivers that have gotten a little buried by, you know, some of the younger talent like Meadows and Brooks. Anybody that comes to your mind that you might think could potentially be on their way out of Tuscaloosa?
Well, you know, typically I've refrained from trying to drop names. I understand why people do it, and there's some that you can look at. You can say, you know, that situation would make a lot of sense based off of how things are developing, what they're bringing in. But I just, you know, I never want to usher or help these guys out the door, or, you know, granted, it's not that I'm, you know, sticking my head in the sand and ignoring that possibility. But I do think right now that there are guys, I mean, when you talk about the play of Dejon Lee stepping up as a true freshman, you talk about the way that Daniel Hill really started to emerge at running back, and Kevin Riley kind of came out of nowhere early in the season, and you're bringing in a Xavier Crowell. Like, yeah, there are a lot of positions you can look at and say, you know, potential departures are certainly, you know, possible. And when you look at, like, wide receiver, you know, that's a position. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up losing a couple of guys there, because the only guy you're really guaranteed to lose is Jerome Bernard. You could get back Isaiah Horton. You could get back Ron Williams, Rico Scott, Lafia Brooks, Derek Meadows. A large number of your guys who are in the top part of your rotation this year could be back next year, and you're adding a five-star caliber talent like a C.D. Morgan to that room. I'm not going to guarantee that he's going to be a massive part of the rotation from day one, but he's exactly that type of body that can come in and really help you from a size and length perspective with that ball winning ability kind of downfield. So that would be another potential guy. So, you know, wide receiver is one where I wouldn't be shocked if they've lost some guys. Running back, I mean, I think with the fact that they added Xavier Crowell and then they added another one late, that kind of told me that they might be expecting to lose a little bit more than just Jam Miller and Dre Washington. So I don't know who that might be. It could end up being a couple guys. I think if they lost a couple to the transfer portal, I think you would have to start looking at maybe adding someone else like a Dre Washington type of player to kind of fill out the depth in that room. But yeah, it's going to be quite a bit of turnover. I say quite a bit. I think they're going to do a good job of retaining a lot of the roster, but there's absolutely a couple of positions you look at and say, I mean, just how things are working out and where these guys are starting to get in their careers, I could see, you know, definitely a couple of them leaving.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. Yeah, we're trying to play a game of addition, subtraction, trying to see how things play. But I definitely respect what you're saying about now. I was like, yeah, I don't want to see, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I think this guy, you know, putting words out there. Because nowadays when people run with anything that they hear, you got to be careful. Yeah. I completely understand. No worries, bro. No, that makes perfect sense. I want to ask you this now. Alabama's back at practice, right? They've had some media availability. We've heard from a number of players. Coach DeBoer spoke yesterday. I believe the coordinators are set to speak today and I think tomorrow as well. But, Clint, when you see this Alabama football team getting back to practice, a number of guys getting back to work too as well. There's been a number of injury updates. Looks like Jam Miller's back getting some work. And I feel like he looks a little ginger still, but hopefully he'll heal up a little bit more as the week progresses. Quavis, I think, trending in the right direction. Where are you at when it comes to this playoff rematch? We had Josh Pate on the show yesterday. Now, he took Oklahoma to win the game. He said it's just hard. You know, as you look back at the last two games before this one, the defensive, you know, masterclass that Brent Venables has been able to put on and find ways to force these turnovers that have been critical moments in these football games. But in terms of the injury updates and just Alabama getting back to work and what you've heard from the press conferences, you know, where's your head at given this playoff matchup? You know, Alabama's going on the road. It's a tough environment. You got to play at Norman, and it's going to be the third time these teams meet in the last 2 years. And unfortunately, the first two have not gone great our way.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking and I'm saying I understand it's on the road, and it's a lot tougher to be a tempo team on the road from a communication standpoint. And I know that hadn't been really Alabama's offensive identity this entire season. It's just not been how they've operated. But, you know, as far as the problems that Oklahoma presents defensively, as far as, you know, giving you one picture pre-snap, giving you something else post-snap, making Todd process that information, and, you know, while putting him under duress or under pressure, I just think that's a losing combination, at least right now it is. It's going to be a hostile environment. There's going to be added pressure. And it's like, you know, one of the ways to kind of prevent defenses from doing all of that is to go tempo where they don't have a lot of time to show this guy's looks. And they're kind of reacting quite a bit to what they're seeing and processing that information on their own. I'm not saying they're going to go tempo. It would kind of be an out of left field type of approach. But I kind of look at it in the same way that Oklahoma's offense threw Alabama's defense a curveball in 2024, where they came out there, did a lot of stuff that Vanderbilt had done as far as the quarterback run, getting that involved with Jackson Arnold. And while they didn't have, you know, a ton of success offensively, and while they didn't have hardly any success in the second half, they did enough early on to really shock Alabama. And Alabama's offense really didn't have the ability to overcome those things. And I think with Oklahoma's struggles offensively and the fact that Alabama's defense is really good and maybe could even throw in a couple of added drives or possessions for you if they can force some turnovers, which they weren't able to do in the first matchup, then, you know, I think that could be a winning combination for Alabama just to kind of throw something at them that they're not anticipating, really try, like, tying those two-minute offenses. We talked about it all year. A lot of fans have been, you know, clamoring for them to do more up-tempo types of things, and I understand that that's just not how they've really won. But I would think that in this type of game, to kind of counteract what Brent Venables and Oklahoma's probably going to want to do defensively, and the fact that I don't think that they would be anticipating much of that. That's something that I would try if I was them. When you look at really the guys who are going to be back, you're 100% right. I agree with you. I made a comment on our show last night saying the same thing about Jam. yes, he's back. Yes, that's great, but he doesn't look to be 100%. He's moving a little, as you described it, gingerly. But Parker Brailsford should be a lot closer to 100%. Having Cam Dewberry back out there, I think he has provided some stability at left guard when he's been healthy as of late, including against Oklahoma. Wilkin Formby and Michael Carroll, that combination on the right side, I think that's provided a little bit of stability. And now that you've had a couple of weeks to kind of, focus in or hone in on that offensive line group and let them kind of play together, hopefully that will lead to a little bit more consistency and success against Oklahoma's, very good, very stingy defense. So it's going to be a tough test. There's no doubt about it. You got to win the turnover battle. But I definitely think that Alabama has the ability to go into Norman and come out with a win, regardless of what's happened in the first two matchups. So it's going to be a fun game for sure.
No, it definitely is. And I think everybody's going to be paying attention to those critical things you mentioned with the turnover battle. I mean, I think field position battle is something we've got to be much better at. I mean, if you look at the recent games, the games that we haven't played great in, I mean, whether you even go back to South Carolina, just giving these teams good field position, then we're also on the flip side starting with bad field position. And I think that is something that could be cleaned up and definitely help us out tremendously. Because it is interesting. I mean, I know you guys, I think, posted on y'all's Cover Crimson page at one point, but like comparing the numbers between the two, and even I got the box score pulled up just right here. I mean, Alabama had success in the game. I mean, I know everybody points it out, but I mean, it's true. I mean, it was one of our better rushing performances with a net 80 yards. I mean, without the sacks from Ty Simpson, it probably was pushing 100. He also was 28 of 42 in that game. I mean, outside of the turnovers, I mean, we played relatively well, so... I think that is a reason for Bama fans to feel confident, just knowing, though, it is going to be on their turf on the road. And that's the only thing, Clint, that kind of concerns me, just knowing what comes with that, especially for an offense, knowing that, hey, their guys like R. Mason Thomas, who looks to be back, he's going to be able to potentially, time snaps because, when this loud crowd noise, you're typically going on indicators and things like that, communication could be affected. So, that is a little bit of concern for me. Is that something that you think the crowd noise in the environment, do you worry that could be not necessarily a deciding factor, but do you think that could end up really playing a big role here, or are you not too concerned with that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it could play a role. There's no doubt. They got to be able to handle that, which I think at various points this year, Athens going against Kirby Smart and that Georgia defense, hostile environment, good defense. It was a tough situation. Missouri, maybe not to the same extent as Athens or Norman, but it's a respectable place. That defense certainly got after Ty and got after the offense. But they did find some success. And I just think it's so important right now. I don't know if it's tempo. I don't know what the game plan is going to be. But I think that if you can put Oklahoma on their heels, no one else has been able to do this against them. I watched Missouri play them when, Alabama really needed Oklahoma to lose. LSU. Their offense really struggled, Oklahoma's did. And yet the opposing team's offense, they did nothing to really position themselves to add pressure to that offense. I don't know what it is early, but I think you need to have something cooked up early to really try to, put the pressure on Oklahoma's offense where you're not just going to be able to rely on your defense today and just kind of coast and it's going to stay close and there's never much pressure. You're going to have to go out there and actually score some points offensively because the offense jumps out on that Oklahoma early and then turns around and says, we're not going to turn over the football. We're going to be smart with how we play this game. And kind of, if you can do that early, you can really start to lean on your defense. And I think if Alabama is able to do that, I think they're going to have a lot of success. But it's just a matter of if they can get that done offensively or special teams. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a block punt like Georgia did. Maybe it's, there's a number of different, ways that you can get it. But you've got to be ultra aggressive early in this football game and, try to, get out to an early lead if you possibly can, because I don't think Oklahoma has been under that type of pressure much, if any, this season. And I don't necessarily think, based off of their offense, that they would respond very well to it if they were put in that situation.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I mean, just watching their offense, man, I mean, that's definitely their weak point. And, I mean, defense has been playing great. And I think we just need our offense, like you said, man, to find a way to start fast, put them in some tough positions and see if we can get a leg up on these guys. I just think the longer you let it play out and you let their defense kind of, give them hope or stay in there or force plays like that, it just makes things a lot longer. And then we need to find a way to get some explosive, something that we hadn't had a whole bunch of. this year, really, even as of recent, right? If you just look at the explosive numbers, man, we don't do a great job taking the top off the defense right now. So hopefully we can do, you know, make explosives from underneath, whether it's, you know, screen game or just getting Ryan Williams and those guys a football quick and let them make plays after the catch. I think that could be big as well. Clint, there's something I just remembered this. I wanted to ask you last week. I know we were running out of time. We got a couple minutes real quick, so I wanted to ask you now that we talked about the Oklahoma game and that matchup this Friday. Speaking of Ty Simpson, everybody's trying to figure out how this whole thing could look. You know, and I threw out this question like before the season started just for the heck of it because I thought it was kind of interesting, and now it actually has kind of come into fruition, unfortunately. You got a situation where you had Ty Simpson playing probably his best ball in the middle stretch of the year. Last, you know, half of the year hadn't been, you know, his greatest showings. But nonetheless, I mean, he's still probably going to be regarded, especially in this quarterback class, as I would say probably a top five quarterback still, even, you know, with some of the performances we've seen as of late. That said, I would not be shocked if Ty decides to come back to school and get some more experience and run it back one more time before making that jump to the next level in the National Football League. So I got two questions for you. Number one, I know you don't like predicting stuff when it comes to players, but just so you don't have to answer this one if you don't want. But let's just say hypothetically, Ty does decide to come back. I guess my question is, how do you think this whole quarterback thing ends up playing out? I'm not saying you have to say who leaves or who goes, but do you think there could be a little bit of a tough situation here if Ty is kind of weighing that decision to come back? Then you're trying to think, hey, we got Austin Mack, Keelan Russell. Do you think that could be not an issue, but just like a dilemma in a few weeks or whenever that time might come? Or do you think you're not really worried about that situation at all?
Well, yes. I mean, I would say that is a potential problem, no doubt, just because kind of before the season, the thought process, I was really high on Ty Simpson, really high on him. And I kind of, what we saw in the first half of the season, I think that even exceeded my expectations, but I wasn't shocked by that at all. I thought it could be based off of the system, based off of what I thought was going to be around him, the play caller. I thought he was going to be in a position where he was going to be one of the better quarterbacks in college football. The thing that I said as far as Keelan Russell, a lot of people thought, hey, if you don't start, you know, you got to start these guys. You got to start Keelan Russell right out the gate as a true freshman or he'll transfer. The data didn't support that. There were a lot of really highly regarded, highly recruited guys who were five-star recruits who stuck around for a year, were willing to sit. Now, if it gets into 2 years, then it starts to become maybe a little bit of a bigger problem. So my argument was I described it maybe as like a worst case scenario. I wouldn't know that I would call that worst case scenario now necessarily. But what I said was the worst case scenario would be if Ty Simpson was good enough to where he's going to be your automatic starter going into 2026, but he doesn't end up being good enough in 2025 to move on to the NFL. And that's exactly kind of what's ended up happening. Now, I still think he could come out. And he could still be a first-round draft pick. I still think NFL evaluators are going to look at what he does and how it translates and think, man, you know, this guy needs more time. But if we can give him some time, maybe a Los Angeles Rams at the end of the first round with Matthew Stafford and McVay over there, you know, I could see him, that being a perfect situation for him. But, you know, at the same time, he probably needs to come back. I just don't think, even if he had continued to do what he had done, at the beginning or in the middle portions of the season, I still think that it would have been possible that NFL evaluators would have been saying, we love it, but you need more time. Otherwise, you get a Mitch Trubisky potential situation where he's kind of a one-year wonder and you really don't know what to expect, you know, getting to the next level. And there's been some, you know, some swings and some misses on that front. But at the same time, what does that mean if Ty ends up coming back? I really don't know. I think obviously Austin Mack would be the more immediate danger, even though a lot of people are going to freak out and they're going to look at more so Keelan than Austin. I think it's possible that Russell would be willing to sit for another year. If he felt good about the system and his place in it. I mean, you never know with these kids. And I think that he fully expected and anticipating sitting for a year, maybe didn't expect to, but it is going to be something that Alabama's going to have to weigh those things. And with Jalen Milroe, I kind of said this, I don't necessarily think that he was just super inclined to want to go to the NFL. You know, part of me thinks that Alabama went ahead and kind of started using, you know, some of the NIL funds that were dedicated to him because they weren't sure if he was going to go to the NFL and he wasn't really a schematic fit. they were putting that in other places. And so it was kind of one of those situations where it's like, you know, we hate it, but like we don't have the ability to bring you back. And then he was in a position where it's either transfer portal or it's NFL. I'm not saying Ty would be put in the same situation, but if they feel like Keelan is exactly what they want and they could get more out of him in 2026 than Ty, which I'm not saying that's how they look at it. I'm saying if they did, then it's possible they could say same situation with Ty. But what I will say is that to me, there's a reason they brought in two quarterbacks in this 2026 cycle. You know, you don't do that if you are expecting to have all three players back in 2026 and then you're going to have five quarterbacks. I know that Kalen DeBoer has said he'd love to have five, but four is like a luxury at this point, in my opinion. So I think they fully anticipate one of those three guys, bare minimum, to be gone in 2026.
That's a good point that you made. I didn't think about that. I mean, the decision of bringing two guys, and you're right, that is probably anticipating that at least one guy be gone, because that is a lot. That's a lot of scholarship quarterbacks, especially in today's day and age, to have in one room. So that's a good point there. And we'll definitely have to say, it's funny you said that, because I was saying the same thing in terms of that situation. It would be interesting to see how it would play out if it did work out this way, which it seems like it's kind of trending that way, which might not necessarily be a bad thing, because I'm with you. I actually don't think I think Keelan would probably be okay, just because he's their guy. He knows that, and he's developing behind the scenes very nicely. And I wouldn't be shocked if, say, he was still here, they would give him a number. Listen, I think this year with him definitely being a redshirt candidate, you had to be a little more limited with things in terms of trying to get him some opportunities. I think it'd be a little bit different next year if he comes back, knowing that that's not really in the equation. And they'll probably make sure he gets as many opportunities as they can. And I'm sure the leash might be a little shorter at times with Ty if that was the case. But again, all hypotheticals. But I just was curious your thought on that, because I know it's been brought up a lot, just how things are trending. But Clint, I won't hold you much longer, man. I appreciate all your time, and I appreciate you joining us every Tuesday, man. Hopefully, when we talk next week, we're talking about the next stage in the playoff system after a win over Oklahoma and Norman. Man, I hope you have a great rest of your week. Are you going out there, or are you going to be covering it from home?
Going to be covering it from home. And we'll get to enjoy, you know, at least a good part about our profession is we can take some of our stuff on the road. So we get to enjoy some Christmas time with the family. So definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to watching Alabama on Friday. And once again, Christian, I appreciate you as always, brother, and I look forward to next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, man. Thank you, Clint. We'll see you then, brother.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. Good deal, man. Clint Lamb, our friend over at Cover Crimson. Make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Cover Crimson on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. At Cover Crimson on X and at Clint R. Lamb is his personal one. You guys already know Clint, but if you haven't, for whatever reason, man, check them out. Definitely, they do a lot of great work over there. And we appreciate him joining us on Tuesdays. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we respond. Plus, we got Slim Slady Slade Bolden in the cut. He's joining us next right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9.
Charge credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. 256 gigs, $830. Eligible port in a new line. $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. All right, we just wrapped up with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Big thanks to Clint, who joins us every Tuesday. Always enjoy doing that. Does some of the best breakdown work you can get, man, especially when it comes to Alabama football, man. So make sure you guys check out all the great work that he and his crew does on Cover Crimson, on all the platforms, YouTube especially, podcast stuff as well. But now we're joined by our next guest. We got Slim Slady in the building. Slade, it's been a minute. I know we just are chopping it up about the whole Spanish thing, which is all great, but I ain't trying to run people off here. But tell me, man, how's everything going, man? I know you had the trip up to Buffalo. It looked fun. it looked like the whole experience, like the tailgate thing that everybody talks about, like jumping on tables deal. I mean, how was that, man? Tell me.
I checked all the boxes, man. Well, first of all, it was absolutely freezing. I mean, it was cold, but we expected that, right? You know, and that's, if you were to imagine the perfect Bills game, obviously, like, you'd have been cool one day to play there, right? Play in the snow, right? It'd be great. But it was cool just to experience it with some of my buddies, one of my good friends that went to Bama. His dad's family's originally from Hamburg, New York, which is right outside, or, you know, 10 minutes from the stadium, and we're right there where everybody gets together to go tailgate, and it was really fun. Obviously, a great game against the Bengals. Just came down to the very end, and, you know, it was really amazing. The snow was out. It was, everybody was in their, you know, full-on ski suits, but decked out in Bills gear, so it was cool.
Dang.
But it would have been better if Saturday, the day before, would have been a better day. It was.
I forgot. I don't think you've been on since then. During the week, we talked. We did a little post game action. We jumped on here and talked about it.
Yeah, I wonder how many people got to listen to me talk. Because Saturday for your boy, and let's just say I was at my buddy's dad's. They have like a little, not really call it speakeasy, but they're like club of, you know, it's just a bar. You go out there, they hand you buckets of beer. It's actually a really cool little spot. So we were sitting there and obviously watching whatever that was on TV Saturday night. I was a little heated.
But, hey, listen, I think a lot of people were frustrated.
Yeah.
I
mean, two beers didn't help either.
I mean, listen, that always contributes. But to be fair, I mean, if it was one of those games where, I mean, one, just you lose a game, I mean, we got our ass whooped. I mean, it was what it was. It's hard. It's hard watch, man. I mean, it's a hard watch. I think everybody agrees with you. Then tell me, where's your headspace now as we approach this Oklahoma matchup? We earn a playoff spot. Some people were kind of concerned. You had a couple former guys saying they didn't think we earned a spot in the playoffs. But, I mean, I think when you look at the total body of work, I think it makes sense. You couldn't just leave Alabama out. But where's your headspace now? I mean, how confident are you in this Alabama football team to go on the road to Norman, Oklahoma, and face a team that has now had their number twice in the last 2 years? Because remember, I mean, even last year we went on the road there. I won a pretty game either. And this one, we played better. I mean, statistically, we did well, but turnovers and whatnot. How are you feeling about this one, Slade?
I really don't know. It's kind of hard to put a feeling on, just because if based off what I saw and what we saw in the last game that we played, you know, yeah, I do think we're probably better than, you know, four out of the teams or whoever. We're better than Notre Dame. I'm trying to think if there's any other team. Miami, yeah, I do believe that we are better than them as a whole body of work, like you said. Based off the last game, you know, as they kind of like, we don't deserve to be in just because how we played. It is tough to kind of sit here in this new world and look at that game and how that production and, you know, just the body of work we put in that game to say that we're going to come out and dominate for, you know, the playoffs. Look, I knew that we both talked about it going into, you know, the SEC championship. It was going to be tough for us because of just some of the injuries we had. Playing a good team twice is never easy. I don't care who it is, you know, especially Georgia. And we've, you know, experienced that before. So it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, we can go on and on about the things I'm sure that you've spoken about on why that, what should have happened, you know, what we didn't do well, which was a lot, and what we could have done better. But I am very optimistic about going into Oklahoma this Friday, just because it's hard for them to beat a good team twice, and we are a good team. So it's like, hey, let's be the Georgia. Let's be Georgia in this situation. And, you know, I think obviously having, you know, a one game under your belt against the team, you kind of figure out the weaknesses and you understand their strengths and how to attack them. But then again, like, they figured us out too. So I don't know. It's just going to be such a challenge. It's such a weird I'm still trying to figure out this playoff situation and why it's better, why I don't think it's better and compared to what we're used to. And it's going to be unique on how you're preparing for a team that has beat you twice, once at home and once on the road. Yeah, it's going to be definitely a challenge from schematic purposes, from just players in general. How do you not let the moment get too big? How do you, you know, forget about the last two games when it comes to getting beat and just treating this like it is just a first round playoff game? No matter who's on the schedule, they're going to get this work. So it is a challenge, I think, overall. For all levels, from the coaches to the players and to the scheme and what we're trying to do to exploit Oklahoma and, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that will present themselves. But I'm optimistic just because I do believe that it is tough, no matter how good you are, to beat another good team twice in the same year. I mean, that is a challenge for sure. But and it is not like it's been that long since we played Oklahoma, yeah, and got beat. So that was similar to us in 2021, where we beat at Georgia in SEC championship and turned right around in 3 weeks and played them in the national championship. So that is kind of probably the closest similarity that I see. But now, obviously, I believe we're kind of the Georgia in that situation because they beat us first this year.
Yeah, no, and if you look at it, I mean, this is a box score from when we played them, like you just mentioned, just 3-4 short weeks ago. I mean, you look at the numbers, and you just go back and watch the tape. I mean, Alabama was moving the football pretty well. I will say, don't get caught up too much on the numbers, because I think, yes, if you look at it, we were able to move the football, but we had a number of plays that were in that game. One of them, there's a bust on their end in the secondary. I know we ended up having to play underneath, I think it was like a delay kind of action to Cuevas. I think he might have scored off of that. Again, moving the football, but I think if you look at the numbers, it's easy to think, oh, it wasn't easy, but we did find ways to have success. I'll word it like that. That to me sounds better. Ty was 28-42. He threw for over 300 yards. It was one of our better rushing performances, but again, we know that the turnovers are costly, the field position thing, that always seems to haunt us. So that's going to be interesting. Can we recreate the success that we were able to have in this game? And two, can we limit the turnovers and the bad field positions that we were put in or giving them in these last couple matches? But I'll say this, Slade. I think people also have to remember, it's easier said than done. It's easy to say, hey, we just got to limit the turnovers. Well, let's go back and look at how the turnovers were forced. Keyword forced. Mm-hmm. I think some people summed it up as, we threw an interception and he fumbled. Well, it wasn't just he threw an interception. It was they ran a simulated pressure. They had great disguise. Dude broke hard as hell on the football. Nowhere to go. Ty had to try to get it out because literally they got the scheme that they wanted up front blocking-wise, and he just made a bad decision then. Ryan Williams had the ball punched out, right? I mean, it wasn't just like a fluke. I mean, the dude literally peanut Tillman punched the football out. So you're going against an Oklahoma team that they're aggressive. They play fast. They play physical. Defensively, we know of all the things that they do pre-snap, get to some different post-snap. It's going to be difficult. Now you're adding the element of going on the road, knowing in that crowd, in that environment, you know, their best player who is an edge guy, he's going to be back. You can imagine. I mean, I know how this works. Just trying to try to jump, you know, snaps and understand, right, those indicators, because when it's loud, you're changing the cadence. It's going to be a little bit different. So it's going to be an uphill battle, but I'm with you. For some reason, I just have a feeling, and I hope this feeling is right, that we come back from the week and a half of rest that we've had since that game. We have a bad taste in our mouth from the SEC championship game / last time we played them. You know, just this resurgence of, hey, man, like, we got to get back on track, because it's now or never. I mean, if we lose this game, it's off to Cancun. I mean, these guys got money now, Slade. These guys got NIL.
That might be real now.
if not Cancun, well, I know they're going to Miami.
They're going somewhere warm.
Man, it ain't going to be Miami for the championship game. They might be in Miami, but it ain't playing if we lose this game. They might be doing some other stuff down there, some excursions.
They're going to treat it like Super Bowl week, where all the players that, you know, obviously we're on the team. Like Super Bowl, they come there to do
That's what it is now, Slade. These guys get paid now. Slade, listen, hey, that's what it is. It's like mini NFL. Best believe they're not playing in it. They will be down there. They will be down there renting cars, hanging out in some night. But hopefully we're not down there in that capacity. Hopefully we're down there suiting up, strapping up like we did in 2018 when we played. Matter of fact, we played Oklahoma in Miami my senior year in 2018, which was a great game, by the way. Oh, great venue. They dominated. Did move us. Yeah. They moved us to the other side of Miami because last time we were in Miami, not going to say any names, one of my teammates who played my position, a couple of them actually, decided to make some decisions that had them sent home on a Greyhound. Slay, real quick, I'm
going to do this. Greyhound, that's tough.
No, seriously. And then that story was wild. I went on the team at that time, but just hearing about it, it was very interesting. We got a call from one of our buddies, KJ. I want to take him on because we haven't taken a call yet. And I mean, I'm sure you can answer anything he's got. He's cool, man. He's got some familiar contacts, some familiar friends. So we'll bring KJ on here real quick as we got Slade hanging out with us. KJ, welcome in, man.
Yo, how you guys doing, man?
We're just kicking it. Yeah. Can't complain. What's up, KJ? Hell, you might have run into Slade a time or two.
Yeah.
So yo, you were talking earlier about who may leave, and I kind of wanted to kind of play like the role play aspect of it where, well, pause in the role play, but where I'm the agent of a client, and you and Slade can both be like, you know, represent the school on why I want y'all to, because I don't, you know, if I just say, hey, this player should leave, the whole fan base is going to be in the comments going crazy on me.
Oh, so hell, I know what's coming.
To defend that. So my claim is my client, Ryan Williams, should leave after this season is over with. Basically, as for me, man, his agent and his marketer, basically, because next year would be his draft year. And we've seen the new addition of your best friend as Ryan Grubb as the head coach.
Wait, hold on. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, KJ. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ryan Grubb. Yeah, remember, I'm Roman. Yeah, you know, Ryan Grubb, now he's now on your staff. And to me, it seems like he doesn't have an affinity for Ryan Williams at all. Oh, yo, can y'all hear me?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I got you now. You got him, Slade?
Can y'all hear me?
I can hear KJ.
Oh, hold on. I got him here. I was over here twisting a whole bunch of stuff around in the layout. I can hear you, KJ. Slade, you can't hear him?
Mm-mm.
Hold on one second.
Can you hear me now?
I don't. Oh, that's weird. All right, so I can hear you, KJ. I'll just relay it to Slade. Don't worry. I'll just relay it to Slade. So go ahead.
Okay.
All right, so basically, my client has to leave your school immediately after this season because, next year is his draft year. His production has went down. He's become the laughingstock. I see fans laughing at him. I see people on social media and big platforms talking about where is he at now. So now it's become a distraction, and now it's actually hurting his claim to get to the NFL. So I'm going to go with Lane Kiffin. I know Lane Kiffin's going to give him a ball. He's not going to be playing whatever it is what you guys got going on. And thank you for the money that you guys have, you know, imparted in him. But it's the best decision for us to go ahead and take the money and go elsewhere.
Wow. Wait, so all right, now we're in this play all together, and so we're, me and Slade are in the front office of Alabama. What you want us to respond to that wild claim you just made?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Okay, hold on. Let me step out of the role play situation for a second. Like you said a whole bunch. Slade, I mean, you look, you ready to say something. You can go ahead. Yeah. Have at it.
Well, if I was in this scenario, whether, you know, a DeBoer, Burns, or Tripp Smith over our collective, whoever I'm playing in this scenario, you know, as much as I respect and do believe that Lane Kiffin is a really great coach and is probably going to do some really good things at LSU, I would look at it as, man, this guy has left, what, three or four schools. Now, most of the time, it is for a better opportunity. You know, FAU to Ole Miss, obviously that better opportunity, being the head coach at Ole Miss than FAU. But when it comes to Tennessee to USC, if I'm not mistaken, USC to Alabama, and then obviously there were some probably personal issues along that line that, you know, Lane would experience that probably moved him to different schools. But I would look at it like, look, we've been loyal to you. You know, we have instilled so many things when it comes to NIL money and to our schemes, you know, trying to just get you the ball and put you in the best situations to better, you know, accelerate your career and your opportunities in the NFL, to showcase your skill and what you can do to get you your draft stock higher. You're going to a place that there's a lot of what ifs, right? And you don't think that you, Ryan Williams, are going to be the only receiver that Lane is going to have come in. You don't think some of his guys at Ole Miss that he coached are going to transfer in, where he has that loyalness to them, that he has promised them a certain amount of receptions and a certain amount of yards. Mm-hmm. And then also the fact that, hey, like, you're going into a program that is a little messy. You may not be able to get the amount of NIL money that we've already promised you. Yeah, they're saying that Lane's going to get all this NIL money, but where do you think all that's going to? Do you think that's just going to you, or just going to the guys that he's promised from Ole Miss or from other schools, trying to build this new program in the way that he feels best? And like, hey, do you even think that you will fit in Lane Kiffin's offense? And who's to say that just like he has not really switched up on, or has, you know, not been as loyal to a certain team, what do you think he's going to do? What is his word going to mean to you when you get there? So that's how I would approach it if I was in that position, saying like, hey, like, look, everything that we've done, we put you and we put our best interest in you, and whatever your best interest is,
let me chime in. Yeah. I'll say this. I'll play a little bit of an devil's advocate here, because I agree with what you're saying, Slade, but to be fair, as of recent, he didn't have any targets against Auburn, right? Yeah. And I would argue that, to KJ's point, there probably is some tension or frustration or somewhere, whether we want to admit it or not. I know people don't want to hear that, but I'm sure there probably is a little something.
I'm just saying, if I was in that position, everything I was saying, I do believe in, but I'm not saying that. I don't know what goes on, you know, in the locker room, in the team meeting room. You know, the reason why he hasn't got the opportunities that we all believe he should have, and why he hasn't performed to the expectations, I don't know all those intangibles, but I've seen over the past 2 years, that would be my approach. But then again, like, who knows what's going on? You know, as much as I'd like to sit here and say that he's not leaving, you never know. And it's just the new world that we live in, unfortunately.
Best believe if it even came, I don't even see that coming up, but if it came to something like that, best believe they would make sure he is, he's taken care of. I'm not talking about it financially. I mean, that part they've already, I think, probably have figured that out and continue to do. I'm saying more so on the football field level. I think they can probably come together and understand, hey, he's going to be needed. And they can get back to having him much more involved. I just think, unfortunately, there's just been a lot. I mean, you got Jeremy Bernard playing some great football, Isaiah Horton. At least one of those guys is gone. It could be both. You never know. But you know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot more opportunities back again for Ryan Williams. So I think him coming back next season, just being able to go in the offseason, polish a lot of different things that he probably could work on, because I think we got so caught up on, not just we, I mean, I kind of understood there's more than just the highlight plays, but getting back to some of those fundamentals, I think will go a long way in helping him develop and getting to be the Ryan Williams that we know he's capable of. I hate to do it. We got to close out on radio at least. We'll sit on here on the stream for a couple more minutes real quick to wrap things up. KJ, I appreciate you calling in, bro. Good to hear from you, man.
All right. Lane train.
Look at us stirring the pot before he leaves, man. Typical troll behavior, man. I'm just playing. We love KJ. Appreciate everybody on the Talking Tuesday. Big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Big thanks to Slade. Again, we're going to hang out on the stream for a couple more minutes real quick. So if you guys are hanging out here, don't go anywhere. But we got to get out of here on Tide 100.9. You got Wyatt coming up next. getting you guys covered right here on Tide 100.9. This has been the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.